Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our brief cursory examination of the book of Philippians. It's a great, great book where Paul's writing back to the church at Philippi and encouraging them to rejoice in the Lord. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that verse today, to walk in the joy of the Lord. Yes, you'll have problems that you'll deal with. You'll have trials. You'll have persecutions. You'll have tribulations. You'll have struggles among yourselves. We're about to see a moment of that, okay? A lot of times we sort of think, well, if everything is fine, if we're living the way we're supposed to, that there will be no problems, and nothing could be further from the truth. And one of the arenas where problems will arise is among the body. We're told repeatedly in the scripture to be forbearing with one another, to place one another above each other, to walk in humility before one another. Now, why would there be a need for those type of instructions, those type of commandments, those types of encouragements and exhortations? Why would there be a need for that if there wasn't going to be an opportunity for such to arise, right? Think that through a little bit. And so this letter brings some of that out. And so it's written to the body there. It's also written to, we get a little hint here that he's giving some encouragement to some leadership, okay, to do some things. So let's just look at this. We're in Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 1. First word is, therefore. Well, great. And in other words, in light of everything that I've said up to this point in time, and that's the reason that quite often we will repeat during these times together. We'll go back and look at the scripture 2, 3, 4 times, you know, read it over and over where we get a flow of what's happening. We're not going to do that right now with the first three chapters. But, you know, reflect upon what we've seen at this point in time. So therefore, my beloved brethren, again, the Spirit is encouraging Paul, and Paul loves doing this, reiterating his love for them, declaring that they are brethren. In other words, he's saying, I see the fact that you are truly saved. You know, sometimes we take that for granted. If somebody shows up in the church building, we think they're in right relationship with God, and such may not be true, okay? But he's telling him, he says, no, I know you are true brethren, and you are beloved. And he says, you are my beloved brethren. Well, that's a rather arrogant thing, isn't it? Well, no, not really. And it shows us some things about here, how we are to relate and how we're to think with one another. And there's nothing wrong with this. Look what he says in the balance of this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see. Okay, the idea is that he really longed for them. He wanted to see them. My joy and crown. In this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. So twice he reiterates that, my beloved, you are my beloved. He is the one that had brought the gospel to them. He brought the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed. He considered them to be his, not in some narcissistic type of way, not in some selfish kind of way, not in some self-aggrandizing type of way. Of leadership. No. He knew what the Lord had done through him with them, and he knew his role and responsibility. Folks, this is where we come up so short. We have a role and a responsibility of encouraging those who are growing in the Lord to continue to do so. He declares them to be his joy, my joy and crown. Now, we know what Paul has said at this point in time. Okay, we know what he has encouraged them, that the joy of the Lord is what they have, okay? But notice what he says. You are my joy. You are my crown. My crown? Crown in relationship to what? It's the crown before the Most High God. In other words, my goal, my purpose is not to attain an earthly crown, not to attain stuff here on earth. The real joy, okay, the real treasure is found in transformed lives. Now, folks, not from the perspective that sort of in my background, in my upbringing, where churches were very proud of their number, okay? In other words, we have, quote, saved, unquote, so many people this year. We've baptized so many people. Folks, it's okay to keep up with the sheep, okay? We're to do that. We're to keep up with things. We're to know what's going on. We're to know what's happening. But we have to be real careful where you don't cross a line to where it doesn't become just an arrogant type of thing and a prideful type of thing. I've seen that. I've seen that in generations of leadership within churches where they're very proud of the numbers. They're very proud of what they've done. There's a heart difference here, folks. It's a heart issue. Paul loved these folks. They were his beloved. They were his joy. They were his crown for the work that he was doing in the kingdom. And he acknowledged that to them, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can discern the heart difference where it crosses over from rejoicing in that into pride. Okay, I just experienced that a couple of years ago with a gentleman that I was with for a period of time. And he did a little mannerism one time, and I went, oh, he's the one. And I remember there being a little mannerism that preachers picked up. You know, and you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the young and upcoming preachers, they all wanted to sound like Billy Graham, and they would say words a certain kind of way. Well, this guy had certain mannerisms when talking about that somebody was saved. And I went, oh, he is. I remember hearing back literally now 40 years ago about how this guy would do that. And here he was doing this little mannerism. And I don't want to draw too much into question his heart motivation initially. Now I think there is some pride and hubris involved just the way he says certain things and comes across. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, don't, you know, just don't let him do that. You know? But it's so easy to get caught up in that kind of thing. It's easy to get caught up in things that will break what Paul talks about in the next verse, the harmony of the Lord. So listen to this. Here's verse 1 again, then I'll read verse 2. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Whoa! So he's going from encouraging them, calling my beloved, my brethren, you're my joy, into dealing with some issues he knew was going on right there. And he just comes right at it forthrightly in the context of love and joy. And he's urging these two ladies, I believe, these two women right here, to, and really the Greek means to be of the same mind in harmony in the Lord. It's translated in English to live in harmony in the Lord. That's fine. But that be of the same mind in harmony in the Lord is really, really very powerful. Because what he's saying is, okay, I know that you've got a different mind right here. You've got different opinions about something. There's something right here that's bringing forth some stress and is disrupting the harmony. But no, you need to be in harmony with each other by being in harmony in the Lord. And if you have the same mind as the Lord, you will live in harmony. That doesn't mean that we're little automatons, that we will always have the same preferences, that one will prefer red and the other prefer blue, one would like Mexican, one would like Italian. No, it doesn't mean that kind of stuff, okay? But it says to be of the same mind in harmony in the Lord. Now watch verse 3. I'll just read this and maybe we'll pick this up next time because there's a lot to be said right here. Verse 3 says this, indeed, a true companion. True companion? Sounds like he's writing to leadership right there. I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So our time's up right now, so we'll deal with this later, okay, the next time. But notice what he's saying. There's a role and a responsibility of helping these women. He said, hey, these women have been tremendous help within the cause of the gospel and our struggle together. They're both saved. They're both one of them. But there's some stress right here. And somebody needs to come along right here and help them with the harmony. Maybe we'll talk more about that next time, what harmony is, musically speaking, right? Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for being with me today, and I'll see you again next time. Goodbye.